Christ is risen. But this resurrection story begins while it was still dark. Before the sun had risen to light her way, probably before there were other people around to ask her what she was doing, maybe before getting a full night's sleep, Mary Magdalene returned to the tomb where she had continued following Jesus even after his death. In John's telling of the story, none of the women from the other Gospels are named or referred to. One plural verb aside, this becomes a very personal encounter with the risen Christ. The story has been told in different ways, but all of the Gospel writers remember that Mary Magdalene was there on that momentous first day of the week. And in John's story, it seems Mary Magdalene took one look at the open tomb and ran back toward her community. She found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and she told them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." At this point, the story shows us three people who face this upsetting news in three quite different ways. The idea that Jesus' body could have been taken away from its resting place was deeply troubling, a tragedy upon the trauma of Friday's events. Peter, the other disciple, and Mary Magdalene all return to the tomb, and they react to the empty tomb each in their own ways. The speedy, beloved disciple arrives first, but then stops outside the tomb. He bends down and looks in, but keeps a safe distance from whatever could be happening in there. Peter, on the other hand, gets there and charges straight into the tomb, much like he has charged straight into so many other experiences and conversations throughout his time with Jesus. As he's looking around and noting the details for himself, all of the grave clothes left behind, the other disciple finally follows him inside. And it's written that he saw and believed. And then those two return home, which leaves Mary Magdalene crying outside the tomb, needing to remain in this moment a little while longer. Peter and the other disciples will be met by Jesus a little later. Even Thomas will have his cries for evidence met with grace. Each one will bear witness to resurrection power. But right now, in the garden, it's just Mary Magdalene again, weeping, grieving, wondering. We do not celebrate resurrection without death, without the cross, without suffering and sacrifice. Resurrection is life again, new life after loss, out of confusion, despite brokenness. Resurrection is not everything is fine, dismissing or erasing what has been lost. Resurrection is everything is new, everything is transformed. God said in Isaiah, "I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Be glad, rejoice forever in what I am creating. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord." God has made all things new in Christ. When Mary Magdalene heard Jesus speak her name in the garden, in the middle of pain, she turned and said, "Rabboni, my teacher." She didn't call him Lord in that moment. She didn't call him by name. She named herself as his disciple, Jesus, her teacher. She named herself as one who had sat at his feet and learned his teachings and who will continue to live in the way that he has taught. Mary is the first to witness this new thing, this new life, this act of God that even those who loved Jesus most could not comprehend until they were living it. And Mary will be the first to announce the resurrection. I have seen the Lord. I, his disciple, have seen the Lord. I, through my tears, and though I didn't expect it, I have seen the Lord. In the garden, and in the locked house, and at a fire by the sea, Jesus kept showing up in the midst of the disciples' fear, questioning, confusion, and their need to be with him. This is how the risen Christ shows up for us, knowing who we are, whether we are the disciple who approaches the rumor of resurrection by hanging back and looking cautiously, or blundering in and seeing for ourselves, or weeping with all of the pain of our loss. Christ comes to us all and makes all things new. This is new heavens and a new earth, a reality in which death holds no fear. Evil has been conquered, and violence does not win. As Christ rose to new life, so he draws us into new life. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. This is the ongoing transformative work of God, work that will keep surprising us, keep coming to us wherever we are, and keep doing something new. The wolf and the lamb will feast together, and so will enemies find nourishment side by side. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and so will the powerful share the life experience of the vulnerable. They shall not hurt or destroy on all God's holy mountain, that mountain to which all nations shall stream, to which all people shall be welcomed home. This is the mountain where we feast on God's infinite love for us. God will not leave us hungry. Christ will not leave us weeping in the garden. Christ will not leave us scared behind a locked door. Christ will not leave us going about our ordinary business of fishing. Christ comes in resurrection power to transform our sorrow, our fear, and our passivity. Christ has come through death into life so that we, like Mary Magdalene, might name him as our teacher and our Lord, name ourselves as Christ's disciples and beloved ones. Wherever we are when Christ finds us, it is ours to proclaim, I have seen the Lord. I was grieving with loss, and I have seen the Lord. I was afraid, not knowing where my path would take me next, and I have seen the Lord. I thought everything would always stay how it had always been, but I have seen the Lord. Christ has done a new thing. Be glad and rejoice forever in what our God is creating. Hallelujah. Amen.